I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I've changed my show prep in the mornings from all the websites I used to visit, but Twitter is my source for just some of the more entertaining stuff that we chase down on a regular basis. And maybe the best that I follow on Twitter is a reporter for the Daily Wire. His name is Ryan Saavedra. You got to follow him on Twitter. And he joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Ryan, I'm glad you come on with me this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. How much time do you spend a day on Twitter? I mean, it is crazy, the volume of stuff.
Way too much.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any life beyond that?
Oh, yeah. Fortunately, I have a bunch of friends and stuff that also follow the news, so when they see stuff, they flag it for me, so I'm not having to spend all day on there. But, yeah, I put out quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, you sure do. Well, the one that was really enjoyable, I played this audio for my audience yesterday, so let me replay it so everybody who wasn't listening yesterday has full context. But, you know, people ask why I talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez so much. Simple answer is because she has so much darn entertaining material, including her talking in a black accent to an African-American group over the weekend.
This is what organizing looks like. This is what building power looks like. This is what changing the country looks like. It's when we choose to show up and occupy the room and talk about the things that matter most, talking about our future. You know, Reverend, you bring up a funny anecdote, and I'm proud to be a bartender. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's so affected.
There's nothing wrong with working retail, folding clothes for other people to buy. There is nothing wrong with preparing the food that your neighbors will eat. There is nothing wrong with driving the buses that take your family to work.
And two things struck me about this, Ryan. First of all, the accent is such pandering. And then the professions she cited seem to be so condescending. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a doctor or a lawyer or a software designer. Why would she, to an African-American audience, specifically talk about folding clothes and cooking food?
Well, and driving people around on buses.
Yeah.
Again, there's nothing wrong with those professions either, but the fact that she picked three lowly professions and the fact that she's saying that to a predominantly black audience and she's saying it in an accent that, you know, she never, ever, ever uses. And one thing that your listeners don't get to see from that video is, and this is something else that I've never seen her do, she's sitting there, she's standing, but as she's talking, she's clapping her hand to each of those words, especially in the beginning.
Right.
And that's another mannerism that she's never done. So this is something that she's obviously practiced.
Right.
This is not something that she, you know, because look, like, you know, if anybody who's not from the South has visited down there and you're down there for a little while, you know, you may notice yourself, you know, saying y'all or something like that after a few days and catch yourself and think it's kind of funny because you normally wouldn't say that. But this whole, you know, what she did was, it was planned. You can tell by her mannerisms it was planned. You can tell by, you know, the amount of, you know, the amount of examples in her little speech that she did that it was planned. This is not something that, you know, she just accidentally did.
Right. So the whole
talking, you know, I mean, down to black people too. I mean, you know, there was actually quite a bit of backlash online, and you know, there were some people that claimed it was, you know, some term called code switching, which, you know, I've talked to dozens of people in the media who have never heard of that term, but apparently for her it's code switching versus if it were anybody else, it'd be, you know, deemed being pandering and racist.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where you kind of come in, because her staff said, oh no, she's used that accent before. And did they cite specific speeches where they claimed she had used that accent before and you checked it out?
Yeah, so well, she actually came out and she said that she had used that accent in a speech that she did trying to rally support against then Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh, and when she was at the Women's March. But I went back and I watched the tapes because, I mean, both speeches were pretty short.
Yeah.
And she didn't use, I mean, she had a tiny accent in the Women's March thing, but it was not nearly as pronounced or as long as the thing that she did on Friday. And she had nothing during the Kavanaugh thing. So, you know, I just called her out on it, and I included links to both of her speeches and said, "You're lying. You didn't use an accent either time." And she didn't. That obviously got under her skin. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, first of all, that defense in and of itself is bizarre. That somebody says, "Oh no, I've trotted out that accent in the past." I would think what we would want from all of our politicians is authenticity. Consistency, being true to yourself, being true to the people you're talking to, and not, "Oh yeah, I trot out that accent every once in a while." I mean, that alone is really bizarre. So then you got under her skin when you sent out those links, and then she finally just blocked you. Is that right?
Yeah, and look, I've had a few different law firms reach out and say that they would sue her on my behalf pro bono, and you know, it's something. While that's flattering, I don't think I'm gonna go down that route. I mean, I think she has every right to block me. You know, that doesn't actually prevent me, you know, from seeing what she's writing or what she's tweeting about or saying. But she doesn't deal well with criticism.
No, so. But what's weird about all of this is, and why, you know, I'm sure the lawyers are reaching out to you, when Donald Trump blocked a few people as president. He got sued, and a judge ruled that was a constitutional violation because as a public official, to deny people access to his Twitter account, and a judge ruled against the president. I mean, I respect that you're not saying, well, since they did that to Trump, let's do that to AOC. You're just, you know, being consistent, it sounds, with your principles, which is, if she wants to block me, she can block me.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing, one of the law firms actually got back to me after they had a chance to really kind of dig into it. And one of the things that they said was that after they went and read the, you know, all the court papers and stuff, that the reason that the judge had ruled that what Trump did was unconstitutional is because apparently he blocked them from his personal account and his government account.
Yeah.
Whereas she only blocked me from her personal account. So I don't know how that would necessarily stack up in court, but right. Either way, even if Trump had only blocked him from his personal account and the judge ruled that was unconstitutional, I still don't think I would be really interested in suing her.
Yeah, so. No, I respect that. All right, well, good job. I just, like I said, I know she gets a disproportionate amount of attention, but it's just so ridiculously entertaining, the stuff that she's pushing out there. But so I'm glad
it's also a little scary too.
I mean, oh, I know
he is with bankrupt the country and turn our country into Venezuela.
Yeah, what's $95 trillion? We can afford that. All right, hey Ryan, it's great talking with you. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Yep, appreciate you having me.
Okay, go follow Ryan, Real Ryan Saavedra, at Real Ryan Saavedra on Twitter. He's also a reporter for The Daily Wire. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on The Dory Monson Show.